Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Welcome to Friday Night Fight.
I'm Bianca.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Sarah. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than to start a podcast while we were living La Vida lockdown. But now we're free.
Whoopee!
Yay!
So we take aim at one topic each week with a bottle of three of wine and try to make sense of it.
You're very questioning of the bottle of three.
Yeah. Bottle of three?
Are you new here or?
Well, maybe that four. We don't know. Right, ladies, what are we drinking?
I am drinking a red wine because it's cold in Melbourne again. Yep. So I have cracked into a bottle of my favourite red, which is a Merlot. And this one is by Wiley Rooster. And yeah, it's very smooth. Loving it.
Ooh, nice. I'm drinking a Young & Co. Pinot Grigio, and it's absolutely delicious. It's like drinking lemon and honey. It is so nice.
Ooh, that sounds so good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm
and it's sorry.
No, no,
it's
go
vintage
for it.
Too. It's Ooh. Vintage because it's 2018.
Mm-hmm. So long ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, the way I'm this is going, it's like at least 5 years ago now. I'm already interrupting. I'm shutting up.
I'm drinking Sophie's Spritz Wild Strawberry and Finger Lime.
Is that a sparkling?
It is. It's like a sparkling. It is absolutely delicious. I was going to drink it on Tuesday for cup day and then never got around to it. I actually fell asleep because I was tired. I tried to get to Dan Murphy's the other day, but people, what is our topic for tonight?
Our topic tonight is where do you want to travel to? Let's face it. In this post-COVID world, we've all been guilty of sitting around dreaming about where we would go if we were able to travel freely. For me, I've been thinking about my plans to take my daughter to Egypt next year, and now I'm thinking that that's probably not going to happen. It's probably safer for me to stay at home for another year, and we might find somewhere to go domestically. Not that I'm complaining, because Australia has some places, and a lot of them I am yet to see, so really, it's not all that bad. However, tonight's topic is all about where we would travel if there was no COVID restrictions or any other restrictions. So basically budget, all those sorts of things. Throw them in the bin. Come on a journey with us. Listen to our fantasy places that we want to go, because this is all about just having a bit of a look around and go, wow, yep, that's where I want to be. So I'm going to jump straight into my segment. So for me, this was a tough one. As I said before, I did plan on seeing Egypt next year. So I was going to talk about that. But to be honest, we have had a hell of a year. Bushfires, COVID, working from home, remote learning for some. Lockdown twice. I mean, I could go on forever about how full on this year has been. So I decided that I need a break. I know it sounds weird because we've been on lockdown for most of the year now. So I want to go away to do more nothing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Me too, girl. Me too.
So where am I traveling? I am traveling to the Four Seasons Ocean Club Resort in the Bahamas. Now, this was in honour of the late Sir Sean Connery, and I want to check out why he left his awesome castle in Scotland to live out his days in the Bahamas.
Well, so I'm going to put it's hot there.
Because it's just amazing, but yeah. I'll put a link up for this particular resort. Now, I'm not going to go through all the amazing things that you can see or do in the Bahamas. I'm going to focus on this resort because there is way too much to cover. Regarding the Bahamas in my very small segment. So I just wanted to focus on my ideal place to go, and that is just simply chilling in a resort because that's my hang. I love it. I love it so much. Okay, so how do we get there? So if you're in Melbourne like us, you just jump on a flight at Tullamarine Airport and then, you know, switch planes three or four times with your interconnecting flights, and 42 hours later, yeah, You're in Nassau, I think. I don't know how you say it properly.
I think it's Nassau.
Nassau, yeah, airport in the Bahamas. Yeah, so it's real far for us, really far.
Oh, yeah.
It's real far. It's 42 hours. Yeah. Yeah. So this resort is actually on a smaller island off the coast of Nassau. So you need to get to the ferry terminal and then catch the ferry across. Unless, of course, you have a private helicopter booked, which is the option that I would be going for, because this is my fantasy, goddammit. So what is the resort like? Well, I wanted a beachside five-star resort in my fantasy. This place is exactly that. For me, there is nothing better than waking up in the morning in your king-size bed, in your 2,000 thread sheets, walking down to eat breakfast or drink it or both, feeling the warm sun and the fresh ocean breeze on you, and it just melts all your cares away. Oh, man, enough researching this. I need a freaking holiday. Oh, God. So this resort is just incredible. It's everything that you would expect from a Four Seasons / five-star beach resort in the Bahamas. There are numerous dining and
drinking options. I'm looking at the pictures and, oh, my God, this is amazing. Transport me there right now.
I know. It's totally worth the 42 hours where we've probably killed each other several times just to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So the rooms are really stunning, and they've got a modern decor, but like a hint of old world. So it's kind of like staying in a modern James Bond movie set. Yeah.
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Oh yeah. It was like old world.
James Bond. That's my best Sean Connery. Sorry.
This is a bedroom Bond. There are three pools plus the beach for swimming. There's a spa center where you can get your massages or have your hair and nails done. There's also a golf course, a tennis court, as well as a fitness center and an activities coordinator who can tee you up with paddle boards or bikes if that's your thing. You can go on excursions. This is one of my favorite things to do when I'm at these resorts. And it's a great way to experience the local places that you are in, without basically, I don't know, risking booking a dodgy tour operator that you're not aware of. If you go through the resorts most of the time.
Or some random tuk-tuk that's out the front.
Which is usually how we roll. And suddenly
you're a sex slave.
We like to just, you know, think of it as more of extreme adventuring.
Yeah.
So some of the excursions include a rum experience. Cue me falling into the ocean and being eaten by a shark or something. Yeah. A visit to a water park, which is called Atlantis Paradise Island. There's dolphin interactions, city tours, yacht charters, fishing, snorkeling, basically something for everyone. As I said before, I will put a link on the blog with a picture or two. Pictures are a little bit hard to come by just because of copyright and things like that. So I stress this, look at this website. It's incredible. So what does this cost? Well, this is the fun part. So trying to tell you how much flights are going to cost because of COVID is almost impossible. Like really struggled because flights are like, especially going out of Australia, are non-existent. We really can't leave at the moment. So it was a little bit hard to gauge the cost of flights, but the one flight that I did find was like $10,000. So I don't think that's normally what it costs, but you never know. Anyway, so in respect to the rooms, of course, the room that I wanted was, you know, the giant villa with four bedrooms and, you know, a private butler and all those things. I couldn't find how much that costs. But I can tell you that a mid-range room at this place goes for about $3,300 Australian dollars per night. And that's a mid-range room. Wow. I don't know that there is an all-inclusive option here. With a lot of these big resorts, especially if you're in, like, I don't know, small places, they will often have an all-inclusive option which covers your meals and your drinks and things like that. But I couldn't find anything on the website. But again, COVID, they may not be offering that at this point. Also, I think right now it's the low season. This was when I looked at the prices, this was more in their high season. So That's roughly what a mid-range room would cost. So all up, this excursion is definitely not going to be cheap. So it's my COVID fantasy holiday because I will probably never be able to afford to go there, at least not in the style which I have outlined in this segment. Bianca, where are you going?
Well, fuck my segment. I'm going to the Bahamas. yeah, it sounds amazing. And plus I get to walk around with my brilliant Sean Connery accent. Bond, James Bond.
And you are clearly nothing like James Bond on the basis that you're a woman and you're about 4 foot tall. So, yeah.
So, I would love to travel to the Sedlec Ossuary because I'm a bit of a history. I'm not a history buff. I don't know a lot. But I love history and I love things that are steeped in history. And, yes, so the Sedlec Ossuary is on my bucket list. So this ossuary is located in the Czech Republic in the suburb of Kutná Hora. Oh, no, sorry, not Kutná. I said it wrong straight off the bat. I'm so sorry to all our Czech listeners. It's Kutná Hora, to say it correctly. Kutná Hora. Okay. So I'll give a little background on Kutná Hora. The town began in 1142 with the settlement of the Sedlec Abbey, which is the first Cistercian monastery in the Bohemia region. And Bohemia is like that whole mid section of Europe. All the pretty green area in that little in the middle, and it's all just old and beautiful. Okay.
Just old and beautiful, darling.
Old and beautiful, it is. So by 1260, German miners, they came in and they mined for silver in the mountains, which they named Kuttenberg. And the mountains were actually part of the monastery property. The name of the mountain is said to have come from either the monks' cows, so that's called the Kutten, or from the word mining, Kutani, which is old Czech. They actually don't know where the exact origin of the name is, which is that's because that's how old it is.
Can I show how stupid I am right now?
Yeah.
What is an ossuary?
Okay, so an ossuary, I have written this down. I'm just going to remember where I wrote it. an ossuary is a chest, box, building, well, or site that's made to serve as the final resting place of human skeletal remains.
Right, so it's a big graveyard.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, yep.
But
continue.
Yeah, a graveyard isn't an ossuary. It's a box or something containing. So, yeah, I mean, it's got to be plural of bones. So more than one person.
Oh,
so you
like
wouldn't call a casket. Yeah, you could probably call a tomb an ossuary. Yeah, that would be an ossuary.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's a building that contains many bones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I'm all over it. Yep.
Yeah. I did write it down because I thought you guys would ask.
Hang on a minute. They're stupid. One of them will ask. Yeah, and it was me.
Some of them ask.
Don't ask me questions in mind. Just putting it out there.
Yeah. So mining boomed the town. And so many kings in the Bohemian region chose to live in Kutná Hora because of the wealth that was coming out of it. And so from the 1100s through to about the 1500s, the town was just behind Prague in terms of popularity. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. And not many people know of the town. And for it to be actually that popular is, yeah, a bit of a strange thing. So, yes. Yeah, so I was going to go on about what an ossuary is, but now I don't have to. So in 1278, a man named Henry, who was the abbot of the Cistercian, oh, gosh, that I knew this word was going to fuck me up every time. So the Cistercian monastery in Sedlec was sent to the Holy Land by King Oktar II of Bohemia. He returned with a small jar of dirt that he removed from Golgotha. And Golgotha is the shell-shaped. I'm having a bit of spoonerism over here. it's the skull-shaped hill in Jerusalem. I'm really fucking this up. Jerusalem.
The skull-shaped hill in Jerusalem.
Oh, I'm really staring at it.
All sorts of religion over here, yeah. Which, so that's the site of Jesus' his crucifixion. This wine's going down well.
This wine's good, everybody. Get it.
And yeah, so that site's actually referred to in all four gospel thingies. So yeah, if you know anything about religion, which I don't, all four of the gospels mention this place. And so what he did is he brought back his jar of dirt, like Captain Jack Sparrow, and then he sprinkled it all over the Abbey's cemetery. So word of this soon spread, and the cemetery in Sedlec became a desirable burial site throughout Central Europe. And around the 1400s, a Gothic church was built in the centre of the cemetery with a vaulted upper level and a lower chapel to be used as an ossuary. And so what they did is, because so many people were bringing their dead to be buried there, they exhumed a lot of the bodies that were already buried there and built what we see today as the ossuary. And they chucked them down the bottom of the church, and simply that's what they did. And then, boom, the mid-14th century, the Black Death just fucking came about with the reaping. And then there were the Hussite Wars of the early 15th century. So this poor little town. Now, to put it in perspective for you guys, the size of the town now today is same size as Mornington. It's not huge.
I don't know. Mornington's pretty populated.
Not compared to, like, cities around the world. Like, it's a
tiny speck. I don't know.
It's only 23,000.
Yeah,
it's only 23,000. Yeah.
Too many people.
It's a speck.
So four, all right. So we've got the Black Plague came through, and then they had the Hussite Wars. So in the early 15th century, by then they had 40,000 to 70,000 people buried there. So yes, it had to be enlarged. Then they had to build this church. So after all that, they built the church, and they had all these plague skeletons. In 1511. The task of exhuming all the skeletons and stacking their bones inside the chapel was given to a half-blind monk. I just got this half-blind.
That kind of makes sense, though, when you think about it. Because do you really want to see some of the things that you're going to exhume? Probably not.
So between 1703 and 1710, a new entrance was constructed to support the front wall, which was leaning outward. It was a slanty shanty. And they had to rebuild the upper level of the chapel. All that work was actually done in the Czech Baroque style and was designed by Jan Santini Arkell. And it all rebuilt. And then all the bones stayed locked in the chamber downstairs because of the plague. So the half-blind monk, he got all the bones down there, and he was pretty careless. Obviously, he was half-blind. I don't know how old he was either. So he shoved the bones down there. They've never had enough information on the bones to actually put anything together. Like, you cannot put a full body back together. Like, of a single person. Like, there's no DNA, there's no...
Well, I'm just sort of thinking about it from a logical perspective too. Like, why would you need to? Like, we already know...
In the 1920s.
Well, I mean, we already know enough about that era to understand what exactly happened and why they all came about to be down there. Like, do we really need to put them all back together, or do we just need to leave them where they rest?
People love a jigsaw puzzle.
Doing their their family trees. Actually,
yeah.
I, like, want to go back that far, but no, yeah.
I just feel like it's theory. Like first world problems, to be honest. Yeah. Like, first world problems. Like, really, absolutely. If you're going to spend money in this country, particularly, like, I mean, if you're going to spend money doing something, resurrecting old bones and trying to put them back together by way of, like, DNA and stuff like that, the money can be better spent elsewhere.
Well, in 1870, Frantisek Rindt, a woodcarver, was employed by the Schwarzenberg family to put the bone heaps into order. Basically, he is a bit of an artist. What he made is absolutely fucking phenomenal. Okay. It is very, very macabre, and he even made a signature out of bones that's on the wall.
There's enough of them lying around. Yeah.
So I will have pictures in the blog of the ossuary. Please go check them out. Friday Night Wi-Fi, blogspot.com. So the ossuary, I'm not the only one who's absolutely fascinated by it. It is among one of the most visited tourist attractions in the Czech Republic. It gets 200,000 visitors annually.
Jesus.
Yeah. So what it has in it is four enormous bell-shaped mounds that occupy the corners of the chapel, and they're just so big, mounds, I suppose, of skulls. Then you have
I know this place now.
And then you've got the enormous chandelier of bones, which contains at least one of every bone in the human body, and that hangs from the center of the room with garlands of skulls draping off of it.
It's actually lovely.
Yeah. And other things he did a coat of arms for the House of Schwarzenberg, and obviously his signature. So I have got pictures there so you girls can see it, but I'm going to put them in the blog too, and it is awesome.
And the whole skull, bone pattern, it really works.
It is just, I love the coat of arms. I forgot to get how big it is. It's like meters tall.
It looks massive.
Yeah. Yeah. So now for all the fun particulars. The Sedlec Ossuary tour info. Operating hours. The Church of Bones, which is what it's often called as well, is opened during the following hours. April through to September, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. October to March, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. My brain went, 24-hour time, what's that? It's one less than the one you said just before, you dickhead. Jesus fucking wept. My dad is rolling over in his bed right now. Actually, no, he's at work. He's at work going, I feel a disturbance in the force.
I feel like one of my daughters is an idiot.
Yeah. One of them is doing stupid shit right now. Yeah. Between November to February, it's open from 9 to 12 and then from 1 to 4. And the ossuary is closed for Christmas, so you can't go visit it on Christmas. See your family, y'all.
Yeah.
Or if you don't have a family, find a new one. It's not hard.
Find several parts of new ones, but if that's your jam. Yeah. I'm just having a look through these photos, and I've got to make a comment. Like, if anybody watched the Predator movies growing up, like I did as a child, this is basically what I would think that a church in the Predator realm would look like, basically. Like, it's all just bone art. It's amazing. Oh,
what is it? Rob Zombie's, I can't remember which movie it is, but Dr. Satan, this was the inspiration.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Fun fact.
I have not seen that film.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's one of the characters, and I can't remember which movie it is. I'm not sure if it's House of a Thousand Corpses.
Sounds like something I'd watch.
But anyway. Yeah. Yeah. I love Rob Zombie, so I'm all over it. But anyway. But, of course, I can't remember the name, so who knows. All right. So entrance fee. For adults, it is 90 Czech kronas, which for those playing at home is $5.50 Australian. So, yeah.
Nice.
It's a nice, cheap day out. It's about $4 US and $3.38 euros. I did the conversion today. So that's the most recent conversion. For students and children, it's only about 60 coronas. So you can work that out for yourself. It's basically nothing, pretty much. So how do you get there? Get yourself to Prague. You can fly, you can swim, you can teleport. I don't care.
Swim to Prague?
Very slowly.
Well, I can't swim to Prague. Maybe other people can.
Yeah, you do you, boo. I don't know what you want to do. There used to be an option on Google Earth when you're going directions, because you know how it has like walking, car, train, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
For funsies, years ago, it used to have, was it Kamehameha?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I remember doing that. It's like Kamehameha across it. I'm like, it's great.
Oh, that's great.
It was one of those fun things, because Google always does those like fun, search engine things. Yeah. So, yeah, once you're in Prague, you can catch a train. It's an hour and 15 on the train, and that's about 10 Australian dollars. So that's not too bad. But if you want to see more of the country, you can take a bus. It'll take you 2.5 hours, but it'll only cost you 5 Australian dollars. Yeah. Or you can hire a car, and it takes you an hour. So let's between... Yeah, their trains are so fast because it's an hour and 15 on the train or an hour in the car.
We're getting on the train, people, because our hungover / still drunk asses from the night before are not operating a car in a foreign country. Yeah. This is the responsible adult speaking.
No. But I have driving directions and bus and train, which I will be putting on the blog for y'all.
We'll just get on the train. Yep.
Exactly. So, look, Kutnohora is a very, very compact town. You can hire bikes there. So when you get there and you want to go to the ossuary or the many other sites, I'll mention a couple, you can hire a bike and just bike around. I mean, that's so common in Europe. Most cities have bikes that you hire. I mean, even in Melbourne, you can hire a bike and ride around. So
my friends did that actually when they toured around Europe, and I said, weren't you absolutely and utterly petrified of being run down on the road? And he said, no, it's totally different. And he went there on his honeymoon. He said, it's totally different to what it is in Australia. They literally will get out of your way. Like, they'll go all the way around you. Like, they're so good in Europe about bikes. So
it's I would not ride a bike in Melbourne. Oh no.
Mainly because we know how we drive.
Yes. So look, when you are there, there are a few other sites. Like, this is not the only thing in town. I'm not going to go into great detail. I've got very, very short things about this. So I'd love to buy a vowel in this word, but Hradec, which is the Czech Museum of Silver, which actually gives you access to the still intact medieval silver mine. So,
wow.
So you can go into the mine. They've kept parts of it intact from back then. Oh, well, what was the year? See, I've already forgotten. This is why I'm not a history buff, because my brain does not remember the dates. But I remember the things. It's fine.
And you're doing way better than what Sarah or I could do with historical things. So, oh, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. You've got into so much.
1200s. Okay, good. I got it. So the 1260 is when the Germans came in. So you're looking at from the 14th century, so 1300s. The mine's still intact, which is awesome. And, like, I can't even imagine seeing something that is that old. It blows my mind.
Our country is, like, I mean, I think we were discovered in the 1700s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I mean,
we have things that are old, obviously. You know, you go to Ballarat and you go to Bendigo and Beechworth and all of that. So, you know, you go out to where the mining towns are and you have the history, but it's not that old.
It's 150 years old. And we're like, wow, that's so old. But in comparison, like, I mean, our country wasn't even discovered until hundreds of years later, and we're walking through a mine. Oh my God, get on it. We're doing it. Yeah.
So one of the other things you can go see is the plague column. It's 16 meters tall. It's a Baroque gem of Kutnohora. It was built between 1713 and 1715. And yeah, it just basically is to worship the thousands of people who died. And then there's
without the grotesque use of their bones, is that?
Yeah. No, that's right. This is a bit more tasteful, which is why it's out in the public.
And not stuck in a church, but that's not a dig at religious people, but okay.
Yeah, we're not looking at you, Roman Catholics, at all. the other thing, so the centre of town, like the meeting square, everybody ends up there. That's where you meet, centre of town. So there is a stone fountain, and it's just beautiful. It's huge. Like, you guys can see the pictures. Like, it's a massive building for a fountain. I just can't even picture that. Like, I've seen fountains. I'm like, cool.
Is that the last picture you've got there?
Yeah. That's fountain.
That's massive.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, there's bunches of other churches. There's one that took 300 years to build, and it is fucking massive. And you see it from all angles of town because of how big it is. And 300 years to build something? I just can't. I can't even. I'm just in awe.
So, can you not even? We take 300 years to do most things. Let's be honest. Sarah's
still 25. So, look, there is so many things to do in this town, but my number one thing is the ossuary. They were holding, like, you could have your wedding there. I was trying to find whether you could still do that, but I couldn't find anything. So maybe they've stopped that now. Yeah, it's a cool place, like, to have your wedding. But yeah.
Prague is on my list, mate. Like, I mean, you do not have to convince me. Prague is heavily on my freaking list.
Yes. Yeah.
But this goes to show that, you know what, like, Prague itself, like the center of Prague, is not necessarily all the Czech Republic has to offer. There are beautiful places.
If you're going to the Czech Republic and you're going to go to Prague, obviously, you know, you want to see that. You want to see the oldest astronomical clock. Yep.
Yeah.
Somebody hasn't got some in a while. Yes, the oldest astronomical clock in the world, obviously, but if you take a day trip, just go an hour out, do that day trip, man, there's so much to see. Like,
and yeah, not to mention that most of Prague looks like it was from a storybook in, like, I don't know, the 1500s, because
yes,
all cobblestone and the architecture is beautiful. And for anyone who's a similar age to us, I mean, obviously, when we're in our early 20s, we were watching XXX, so we definitely want to party. We don't care how old we are. We want to see some nightclubs. We want to get
give me some Darude Sandstorm in a nightclub in Prague. I'm down. So, it's look,
amazing.
Yeah. And because the town is, well, it's not as old as Prague, but because a lot of kings chose to live in this town rather than the major city of the region, it does have a lot of beautiful architecture. I mean, the guy who wrote the Czech national anthem lived there, and his house is, like, still standing. You know, it's one of, like, we could do a famous tour, you know, people house tour around Kutná Hora.
It gets me so much, like, I'm completely going off on a tangent now, but it just gets me that you look at this architecture and you look at these structures and, yeah, they've had maintenance over the years and, they've had things done to the interior and everything else, but they're still effectively standing in a very similar fashion to what they did when they were built.
Yes.
We have houses less than 4 years old falling apart.
Yeah.
How?
Their cobblestone roads are still going. Our fucking roads are done every fucking 6 months and there's, bullshit.
Yeah. You literally drive over.
Yeah.
You drive over a road 3 times and there's a pothole. Like, what the fuck is going on with that?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. But anyway, that's my segment. I'm not going to go on because I could go on about lots more things about the Czech Republic. So, Sarah,
tune in for our live Facebook posts when we're allowed to travel and eventually we get to some of these places.
Yeah. So, Sarah, where do you want to travel to?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I did my research in the 5 minutes before I finished work.
Standard.
We expect this of you every week.
I'm glad you expect this of me.
If you I tried
to do it a little faster, but I'm tired and I try to learn new shit. It's not happening.
If you spent hours doing this, Sarah, I feel like I'd almost be disappointed.
Hey, yeah. I did in the beginning. I spent hours doing my research. Now I'm doing it in 5 minutes because I can't even remember the paperwork I'm meant to be filing away on Monday. How do I do that again? Who knows? I'm going to have to ask all the questions. Can you just explain this to me all over again? So this week, I've actually chosen the UK. I know we're meant to be doing, you know, like one country or one place, and the UK is like 4 different countries in one, but just live with it.
Prepared to be railroaded.
I'm already going to go steamrolling down this.
I'm already like.
like the European Union. So is it even the United Kingdom? But then I thought Sarah won't know any of the answers to that, so I shut up. But then Bianca opened the floodgates, so I went for it.
They are technically the United Kingdom, but they're not emotionally united.
No.
And South Island is not united. They're actually separate.
Yeah.
They're just Ireland. Yeah. They hate the British. My family is from there, so.
Same. Shout out. Hi, y'all.
Okay. So, first off, I'm going to talk about Scotland, which is the main part that I really want to go to and is pretty much all that I talk about.
Can we go to Sean Connery's castle?
If you wish.
Yay.
I'm not going to lie. There is many places I want to go there. I have not covered half of them.
Right.
So many places.
Put it on the list. Yeah.
Just put the entire, we're just going to go from town to town to town. Just
okay. Do it. Well, are we going to Coltibraggan?
Sure.
You don't even know what that is, do you?
No.
No.
Because I didn't research that.
Okay. So it's in Perth in Scotland. It's where they held the Nazi POWs.
We can do that.
Okay, good.
Okay.
It's on my list. It's on my list. Oh, and we have to go to the suicide bridge where the dogs jump off for no fucking apparent reason and commit suicide.
Okay, mate, depressing, I'm going to jump in because Sarah is going to eat you alive. Shut up.
I'm shutting up.
I doubt that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah, continue.
So we're
pick the country.
So first we're heading off to
mute her. Like, is there a way to mute her? Or...
I'll mute myself.
There you go, Sarah. Continue.
Thank you. So first we're heading off to Edinburgh. So we're going to
Arthur's Seat.
Arthur's Seat.
You literally went 4 seconds.
No,
that's the place I was going to talk about.
Yes, I'm on board. I'm pouring another glass.
Mate. All right, so Arthur's Seat. We actually have an Arthur's Seat in between my house and Bianca's house.
We certainly do.
So we actually.
So convenient if there was a chairlift between your house and Bianca's house. That would be so convenient.
Oh, actually, side note, the chairlift has gone into receivership again.
Yes,
again.
But anyway, yeah, I'm not. I don't want to get sued, so I'm not going to say that too much. Go, Sarah. Keep going. You have to just steamroll past us now.
Arthur's
Seat. What you get for going last?
Shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm. I was helping you.
Okay, I know, but you keep talking whilst helping. Okay, so Arthur's Seat is actually it is an ancient volcano, dormant or dead, I should say. Its peak stands at 351 metres above sea level, and you can see pretty much all of Edinburgh from the top. It's a short stroll from the Royal Mile. I don't believe that in the least. I did look at the map.
I looked at the map, and I did the Google Maps, and it's half an hour walk uphill.
Yeah, that's the hike.
Yeah, that's a hike.
That's fine. We can do it. We got this, guys.
Yeah, to Holyrood Park, not to be confused with Hollywood.
Yeah, no, Holyrood.
Holyrood.
Yeah.
Holyrood. It's meant to be an easy hike, but again, I'm fat and I'm fit, mm-hmm. so probably not. But okay. I'll do. So at the top, you can see pretty much all the city and the castle, which is at the end of the Royal Mile. Edinburgh Castle is the next one on my list. Also sits on top of a dead volcano. Who knew? It had two volcanoes. Who knew Scotland had any volcanoes?
I actually didn't know that one.
Yay! Okay, so it is actually a reminder. They like to have it as a reminder of Edinburgh's historic roots from the time when they did the settlement there. If you are planning to go, try to plan it to coincide with one of their many historical events. They do reenactments there.
So it's like a Renaissance fair.
They do have, things like that. They also have the Edinburgh Tattoo, which is massive. Royalty come. You've got Highland dancers from all over the world going there.
And every bagpipe in existence. Yeah,
every bagpipe.
Yeah. And even the international high schools. Because my cousin went and did bagpipe competition because he's high up.
Did your mum go to this, Sarah?
Yes. They've also got, I know, because my daughter did Highland dancing, and a couple of the girls she actually danced with, well, the older girls, they actually went off to the Edinburgh Festival and danced there.
Side note for our listeners, Sarah also did Highland dancing.
I did not do Highland dancing. I did Irish dancing. There Irish is a difference. Dancing.
Yeah, that's why she tried to outjig Irishmen when we're out at pubs.
You, and if Amy, you're lucky, Amy. I may capture some footage of her doing this on an occasion. So keep tuned to our blog and keep tuned to our Facebook because you may see Sarah just dropping off a jig.
I'm pretty fat. You don't want to see me Irish dancing. Everything moves. Everything.
The best thing you'll ever see.
But you could find us doing a jive. You never know. Sarah and I can jive now.
Yeah, totally can. Back to the castle. Mm-hmm. The little bonus fact I have about it. It has a tea room. Delicious. Have some scones. It's called scones, people, not scones.
They're scones.
Scones. And the jam goes on.
Scone all the time. I'm a heathen.
You are a heathen.
Yeah.
All right, so next on my list, I've already talked about it twice, the Royal Mile. So it's basically just a bunch of streets. The Royal Mile has cobblestone streets. They're like old building fronts, like I want to say vintage, but it's beyond vintage.
Antique,
medieval building. And yeah, it's begging to be explored. Everything, again, Mum went there. She loved it. It's her favourite part. It actually has a market that has been described as an Aladdin's cave of arts, crafts, food and more. It's actually held in a 17th century Tron Kirk, which is a former principal parish church. Now, I actually did a little bit of background on this church because the name really took me and I went, Tron Kirk.
Literally the one thing I didn't have questions about. Yeah, great.
Literally the one thing you didn't have questions about, but I actually found it kind of interesting. So it was built for the Northwest Parish, one of the four parishes of Edinburgh after the Scottish Reformation in 1560. Before the church was actually built, they used to go to St. Giles, which is also in Edinburgh. But yeah, the church was dedicated to Christ by the citizens of Edinburgh in 1641 and is known as Christ's Kirk at the Tron. I'm just loving these names of it. Christ's Kirk at the Tron. Sounds like a club.
Look, my brain's going Tron. Every time you say Tron,
yeah.
Do you see towels? See towels. Exactly. We're in the Lewin again.
Yep. That's exactly where my head's going. But it actually closed as a church in 1952. So it ran as a church for a couple of hundred years. Little fun fact, in 1697, Tom Aikenhead, an 18-year-old student, became the last person in Scotland to be executed for the crime of blasphemy. After a narc reported, I'm calling him a narc just because... after he heard him blaspheme against God in front of the church of Kirk at the Tron, and he was prosecuted for saying, and I love this, "I wish I were in the place Ezra called hell so I could warm myself." And he said this as he walked by the church after drinking with friends.
Oh, God. The three of us would have been dead so freaking quick.
So many times.
I blasphemed several times this episode.
And I actually had another fact about, this is just a side bit about Arthur's Seat, because I actually put this information in the wrong section. I don't know why. But Arthur's Seat was actually set on fire last night. Well, today.
Oh.
Arthur's Seat or their Arthur's Seat?
There's the Edinburgh Arthur's Seat was set on fire due to kids throwing fireworks for Guy Fawkes.
Guy Fawkes, yeah.
Yeah. So
remember the 5th of November.
Yeah. Place on fire.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
Well, the reason, you can say that we're a nanny state, but we're not necessarily allowed to have fireworks. That's because drunken teenagers are stupid and they will set shit on fire.
1,100 calls from the public in 8 hours. And the fire department dealt with over 500 bonfires, and there was 12 reports of attack on fire safety crews.
Yeah, see, that's not cool. I laugh about it. Once upon a time, we were drunken hooligans as well. And, if we had the ability to get our hands on fireworks, we probably would have set a lot of things on fire because we were idiots. We're still idiots. So but, you know,
gone to a beach.
But you don't attack emergency service people. Yeah, you just don't. That's wrong.
No.
Yeah, you don't do that.
No, no.
Just let them put out the fires and then you laugh about it and then you go home.
And side note.
Next up is the real American clothes. It's the what? Tucked
Sorry,
away.
I was laughing too much. I misheard you. What'd you say?
Okay. We said we're going to talk about the real Mary clothes.
Okay.
King clothes, sorry. The real Mary King clothes.
Okay.
It's tucked away underneath.
The real housewives of, like, the monarchy or?
Yeah. Because I'd be down for that show.
No. It's tucked away underneath Old Town and the Royal Mile.
Okay.
And it's a set of underground street and spaces known as clothes.
Mm.
Closes, I should say.
So that's where that terminology comes from. When you say, you know, it's blah, 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 close. Like, you know, blah, 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 street, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
You know, court. It's blah, 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 close.
Yeah.
It's because it's a reference to old underground streets.
Yeah, like rooms underground, yeah. They fully look like streets, but they're just under the ground. They took the name from Mary King, who was a merchant who resided in the close in the 17th century. It was also partially demolished and buried because of the building of the Royal Exchange in the 18th century and was also later closed to the general public. It had a reputation for being haunted since the 17th century.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
Yeah. And it has had several paranormal investigations held there.
Yes. Can we do one?
It's probably a lot of lost drunk people like myself who just got lost down there and then died because they were just too lost.
Baby.
Like, help, I need to get out.
Can we do it? But can I be like that dude who was exposed as a fraud, that guy Derek Acquara? And I just, this belongs to me.
Godfrey Fox. Oh my god, I love that episode
of
Oh
god, it's so funny.
So good.
So good.
Okay.
I love that he was shown to be a fraud.
Yeah, because he was sensing washing machines.
He was sensing washing machines.
Yeah.
I feel that.
White goods have a soul, people. So, because the close ran the nearest of any of the others to Old Nor Loch, a stagnant and very polluted marsh, it's now believed that the biogas that escaped into the close from the lock produced an eerie green light.
Oh,
and
no.
And that's believed to have been the main reason for the ghost stories in the beginning.
I bring love. Oh. I bring peace.
Yeah.
It's bringing love, breaking legs.
The gas is also known to have caused hallucinations.
Yep. I'm down that road already, mate.
So not only is it producing a green light, it's also causing you to hallucinate. It could be a ghost. There is every chance it could be a real ghost. Or it could just be sniffing too much gas.
It's just really sad, though, that that's coming from the marsh, though. Like, that's got to be some heavy fucking toxicity shit.
But there's no way of stopping it. It's just the way it is.
Oh, they've been populated for how many fucking hundreds of years? Like, I guess this is what humans do to the environment. So, yeah.
Climate change is a thing, though. I will get photos put on the blog, but this place actually looks like a haunted house from a theme park.
Oh, yes.
I'm going. 100% I am going. I actually did look at the prices, and the prices aren't bad. So, for an adult, it's like £17.95. Then you've got like your seniors, which is cheaper. Kids are only £11.25. Families are £49. So two adults, two kids.
So it's like 30. It's like 35 Australian bucks.
Yeah.
Well, I was just gonna say for an individual, it's like $70 or something.
Well, with 17, if it's 17 sterling, it's $32.
So if you go by pounds, you usually, you know,
double it.
So there are other places, again, I've written here, there are other places I want to travel there. So Holyrood, I really should be saying it with an accent. That's the only way I reckon I can get around it. But Holyrood. I'm sorry. That was a terrible accent.
Because you were following my lead, mate.
Holyrood Palace is one place I would love to go. The Queen actually stays there, I think, a week out of every year to do queenly
things. Does
the Queen can actually go there to see Mary Queen of Scots' room, but only when the royals aren't there. St. Giles Cathedral is one. The Scottish Storytelling Centre. I would love to go there. They tell a good story.
I'm literally seeing myself sitting on the ground cross-legged with a bunch of children like Billy Madison. So excited just to be there.
You're a dickhead. Shut up.
I'm there too.
The Heart of Midlothian. That's another thing. That's actually a mosaic that's built into the ground of a heart. Camera Obscura. Google these things, people, because I'm not getting into all of them. All the castles in Scotland.
Sounds like how you feel about me, so yeah.
All the castles in Scotland. Loch Ness, definitely have to do that.
Yeah.
Is beautiful. Oh,
Urquhart Castle, absolutely.
And just one of the things that, you know, I want to see is Culloden. So where the Battle of Culloden took place.
Mm-hmm.
I hear it's eerie as all hell, but amazing.
I want to go to the Isle of Skye because there's lots of fairy circles.
So there is actually, hang on, I wrote it down. I didn't put it in my other script, but I wrote it somewhere.
Because my family is from, because I'm from the Mackays, so I'm actually from, my family, Amy and I are from the same clan. So
yeah, except it turns out that she was, I think you guys were northerners, like you were up the hill and we were down the bottom, yeah.
We were northerners, we were more northern Inverness.
We were on the bottom of the hill. Yeah.
So, we were up near where you would get to the Isle of Skye.
So, basically, Bianca's relatives were my relatives, weirdo cousins who, marched up a hill and decided to set up camp there. Yeah, they were crazy cousins.
And my relatives are all
Highlanders. We are so short. It's why I'm 5'0".
All right, so, Bianca. In Skye, there's an area called the Fairy Pools.
Yes, yes.
Really want to go see that. It looks amazing.
And also on the Isle of Skye is an open-air dinosaur museum. So they've got actual dinosaur bones that you can touch and stuff like that, and they're just, it sounds fantastic.
It's just, there's a place in Victoria we can go to and buy some dinosaur bones. Just saying.
Is there though?
I was there not long ago.
Yep, there is.
Crystal World.
Yeah.
Traveling over to Ireland. I didn't do much on Ireland, but there is a lot there I do want to see. But mainly the Giant's Causeway.
Oh, yes.
So much history in it. I will tell you the story that goes along with it. So the story is the giant Finn McCool was challenged by the Scottish giant, and I'm going to get this name wrong, Benan Duna? Duno? Duna.
Now
Duna. Yeah, Benaduna.
The Duna giant, yeah.
Yeah, the Duna giant. He was challenged to fight the Scottish giant, and he accepted and built the causeway across the North Channel over to Scotland. The first version goes, he gets there, he fights the giant, he wins. Second story goes, he gets over there, he sees the size of the Scottish giant, runs and hides. His wife finds him, dresses him up like a baby and tucks him into a cradle. The Scottish giant comes over looking for him, sees the baby, goes, if that's his baby, this dude must be huge. He must be like a giant of giants. I'm fucking out of here. He runs across the door and he destroys the bridge. So they can't chase him back to Scotland. Either way, I like the second story better.
I'm down for that. Believe that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Either way, amazing. We do know that, it is just a natural rock formation, which is amazing looking. But I like to think the giants made it, and that's the story. I would also like to travel down to Dublin and head to the Guinness factory, just for a bit of a look-see or, a look drink. as, you know, that's the way.
Or as Sarah calls it when we're out, dinner.
Not the drink.
Yeah. Dinner. She's going to drink some dinner.
Nine. I can do 9 pints and that's my limit so far. Heading over to England, I would love to go to London, of course, and do all the touristy things. But I would really love to go to Liverpool just to see where my mum grew up.
Your mum has some of the most amazing stories that I have ever heard about people growing up in England. And she didn't grow up rich or anything like that. Like, it's not like any like luxury freaking stories or anything like that.
She was just a normal Liverpoolian.
Yeah, and she's got some great stories. So good.
Like the time she used to throw rocks at the Beatles' cars.
Yeah.
So my mum grew up in Liverpool as a child when the Beatles were just starting out. It's amazing.
Yeah, we'll have to have Jan on this podcast. I would also like to tell stories.
All my family that is over there that I haven't met. We do have quite a few cousins I haven't met yet over there. I would like to go over and meet them. There are other things in England, probably heaps, but two of the things I would love to do is, you know, like a Harry Potter tour and a Game of Thrones tour.
Oh, my family live up that way. We'll stay with them.
We can do that.
They've already had COVID and they're fine, so it's fine.
But yes, so that ends my segment.
So you've looked at the types of holidays that we would have, and obviously mine has been so relaxed only because all of the stress and stuff like that of 2020 can eat a dick. Bianca has gone through another adventure kind of holiday where, I mean, God, like, I'm ready to go to the Czech Republic right now. I was ready to go before, but, yeah, I'm totally ready to go now. And Sarah.
I'm all over the joint. All over the joint. And honestly, that's the way I like it.
When you talk about Prague, I could have gone into the fact that I've actually researched there's a ghost tour, but the only reason I want to go on it is because it takes you underground into the underground tunnels of Prague, so you get the history of Prague. I'm like, fuck the ghost tour. I just want to hear about the history and walk through underneath this beautiful city in these tunnels that were built like 500 years ago.
The Mary King clothes.
Yes,
all built
exactly.
Underground.
Yeah.
All the history.
Yeah.
People living under
this. So, I'm like, Sarah, fuck it. I'll go on a ghost tour from the town hall to the fucking courthouse. Absolutely. I'll walk where prisoners walk because that's amazing. Don't care about the ghosts.
Honestly, your segment, like, I mean, the UK, like, I mean, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, that they're not necessarily high on my bucket list, like, to be honest. But this segment has actually sort of rekindled my passion for that kind of history because that history is our history, if that makes any kind of sense. So it actually, like, when you were talking about these places, I'm just like, you know what, this is actually definitely somewhere I need to go and I need to spend some time here, whereas before I would have been like, a day here, a day there.
Scotland is definitely a two-weeker.
Yes, definitely. We need to spend some time here. All right, so shout out.
Yes, shout outs. Woo. Okay, I promised I'd shout these people out because they did an amazing review for us. So, Beer Man Beer Podcast. Ooh. My shots will never be the same again. I've drunk too much and I just about hiccuped with a little bit of vomit. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no.
I'm good. All right. So, yes, shots will never be the same again.
Cannonball.
I'm going to yell cannonball. Yes. And I don't care who on the train's listening to me. Yep. Everybody listen to them. They are on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. Beer Man Beer. Definitely. You are definitely high on our list. Thank you so much for your glowing review. We loved it. Thank you. I don't know that we actually live up to your accolades, but yes.
Yes, that was quite worthy.
Look, okay, so to our lovely French listeners, there is one in particular who listens to us every single week, and we appreciate you. Thank you so much. Feel free to reach out. We are friday.winefight@gmail.com. Feel free to send us an email. We love your support. Thank you.
Yeah. And yes, we'd love to know your name so we can shout you out by name.
Yeah. Because, Even if it's a pseudonym, give us a pseudonym. We love you. We don't care.
Just something to call you by.
Yes, exactly.
So, Milford, Connecticut. Thank you so much for your listen.
Absolutely.
Guys, in Connecticut, if you're all Stepford Wives and you need to get out, like, just send us a message. We will help you.
Blink. So, okay, just Morse code it. We will understand. Yeah.
I strongly disagree. I like Stepford Wives.
You would, you fucking Gilead motherfucker.
I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was great.
There's nothing. No. Okay, I'm not getting into it now. When we finish, I'll get into it. To our listeners in Minneapolis, Minnesota, That's my bad accent.
Territory right there. Mighty Duck. Do a flying baby.
Yes. We love you. We love you.
Pennsylvania. I am literally watching that right now to see which way you voted in the election. I am not telling you about if I'm judging you or not, but I am watching you. You're on one of those registers that said that this is going to be one of the particular states that's going to decide the American election. So I am watching you.
Delray Beach, Florida.
Going down the beach.
That sounds like somewhere we could have done in this segment, really.
I know. Definitely. I'm just picturing Will Smith in my head.
Welcome to Miami. Miami.
Thank you for listening.
Lake Stevens, Washington. I actually know nothing about this. I am so sorry. Did not research. Don't know where you are. Next week, I may give you a second shout out with, I found you. I got nothing this week, but I love you. Is that enough? I don't know.
I've got Sun City Center in Florida. Big shout out to you guys as well. You also sound like a group of people that we could have put in this segment. So if you think, no, this place is a hole, let us know again. Yep, it's Friday Night Wine Fight.
Let us know if you have actually picked up an alligator and decided to rob, a Wendy's. Because... I'm kind of interested in that.
And you know what? I feel like we've got a kinship with Florida because there's so many gator stories, right? And we have so many croc stories, and there's crocs everywhere in Australia. Like everyone goes, oh, it's only in the northern areas. No, it's really fucking not. It really isn't. Everybody has got a croc story in Victoria. Yeah. Everybody's got a croc story in Australia. Everybody's got a alligator story in Florida. Yeah. Tell us your freaking alligator stories. That would be amazing. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
All right. Paradise, Nevada. Ooh.
Again, you're another city that we're watching very, very particularly about
You sound like a lovely place. I actually don't know exactly where in Nevada you are, but hey, I'm going to look you up because your name's Paradise.
I know, right?
I have high expectations.
Added to the road trip. Paradise, Nevada, we're coming for you.
We are coming for you.
Hit us up. FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com. We will meet you. We have no qualms.
Also, tell us the best spots to stay in, Definitely coming over.
Washington, Virginia. Yep. Someone has binged all of our episodes. We thank you so much.
Thank you and sorry.
Absolutely.
Thank you and sorry. Sorry about
our craziness, but
yeah,
I'm super surprised about that. Like, literally in a day you binge them. I'm amazed. Thank you. You don't understand how much we appreciate that right now.
I can't even binge these two, and I've known them for so long. Seriously, you deserve a medal.
Yes. Please reach out to us and give us a name.
Please reach out to us, FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com. We would love to hear your feedback. We really want to get in touch with our listeners, and we really want to interact with people. So feel free to just shout out to us and tell us what you think. That'd be great.
Yeah. And for our last shout out, it's actually here in Australia, Hornsby, New South Wales.
Yeah.
What?
Thank you.
Oh my God. I looked you up on a map because I've never heard of the suburb before. And I'm like, I actually don't know anybody in that region, and you've listened to more than one episode, so yeah. I'm super psyched. Hi.
Thank you.
And to all our Melbourne listeners, there are so many of you that we actually, like, yes. I mean, we can't possibly list because, you know, cell towers and stuff like that don't necessarily tell us where you're from. We love you. Thank you. And we really appreciate your support. Keep listening. Keep following us. Share us wherever you can to anybody who you think would find this entertaining. Yes. We've had so much fun researching this topic, as we did with all the other topics in the past few weeks. But we really want some listener feedback. Tell us what you want us to talk about. So if you've got a suggestion about a topic that you think that the three of us could tackle, FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com. Email us.
Email us.
Email us. We love it. So everyone has listened to this. We would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to our utter rubbish and interruptions and drunken tangents. Yeah, it's been amazing that you've stuck with us this long.
We're not sorry. Just saying.
I'm not.
She lied.
I'm really not. It's an empty apology.
We hope that you have found it entertaining and you're not using any of the facts discussed in this recording to make important decisions in your life.
Use them all. I actually properly researched mine.
she actually researched it. Use my facts, but use them wisely. Not all mine are actual fact. I just pictured up off the internet.
All right, people. I hope you found this entertaining. We love you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.